Pittsburgh from Love Incorporated, Love in the Name of Jesus Christ, is here this morning. And we have a long relationship with Love, Inc. I can remember way back when we were on Elk Street in our early years, a partnership that we have with them. And we partner with them right in this warehouse right over here. They're coming in and out with a furniture ministry. I'm sure you'll hear more about it as we go. I did not get your video loaded. Sorry about that. I couldn't get it in the short time we had. But there is so much fruit of the work of this ministry in this town, and I know you're going to hear more about it this morning from John. Would you welcome him this morning?
Amen. Great to be with you today. And it's so funny, Sean, because I was thinking about those same things about the history that Love Inc. has with Destiny. I'll touch on that briefly. 24 years ago, I helped start Love Inc. And so I was traveling to different churches, telling them about this mission. And just to real briefly, our mission is mobilizing local churches to transform lives and communities in the name of Christ. So it's not to do something to replace what the church is doing or even come alongside the church. Our desire is to help churches help their neighbor in need, help churches help people. So how do we do that together? And so we've been trying to figure that out for 24 years. But Destiny was one of our first 10 partner churches. They were a founding church partner. And I grew up in a Baptist church, and Destiny's not the same church as the one I grew up in. So I was visiting all these churches sharing. I just remember on the Elk Street church, I'm walking in and I was late. And there was this song, and I can still remember the lyrics, which is, jump, jump, jump in the river and jump. You know it? And I come in and the entire crowd is like bouncing. And I was like, wow, like this is, it was great. Like, 24 years later, I can still hear that song. It was made an impact. So talking about the mission of Love Inc., and it says to transform lives in the name of Christ. And so what does that mean, transformation? And so Love Inc. strives to be transformational, not transactional. It's not just about giving somebody something. We desire that we can help come alongside them to see their life truly changed. And so if you look at our purpose statement, it's walking alongside people on their journey to wholeness through mutual service, education, friendship, and prayer. Like, this is mutual. I'm in the process of being transformed. You all are. How do we, our neighbors in need, which there are thousands of, some days it's me, but we have to come alongside each other. We're in this work together and point people to Jesus. He's got the answers. And so that's what Love Inc. is all about. I just want to walk through that real quick, and then I'm actually here for a very specific reason, two specific reasons. It's a real honor to bring the word today, and so that's the most important thing we're going to do today. But I want to just walk through what is Love Inc. real quick. A lot of times when people are in need, they will call a church for help. Our church partners or other churches can just say, can you just call Love Inc.? Because they're equipped to handle that. But it's not passing the buck. We have a place called the Connection Center. People answer the phone, they're volunteers throughout the week that we train, and they're ready to take that call. They can pray with the people that call, they can point them to area resources that they know about, they can do an intake with them to find out what's the best way we can help. That's where we can sign them up to earn furniture for their home, which is stored right behind this wall. We can help them with linens and kitchen items. They can come in our bike shop and work on a bike and take that bike home to help them get a job. We can help them with medical equipment. A lot of this is done either in direct partnership with churches or in some sort of hybrid where we have church volunteers doing the work. We'll have, like, on a Saturday, a church, I don't know who it was yesterday, but a church will take that Saturday and they'll deliver items to people's homes and be in their home and pray with them, encourage them, and invite them to church. So it's always about connecting and moving it forward. One of the big ways we connect is through Life Inc. classes. And we've been holding those here once a year. And so churches host those, and then we provide classes on financial management, parenting, life skills, around scriptural issues. And people who come to us, that's not, they know, like, hey, yeah, if I get a couch, it's not going to change my life. Like, I need more help. And so this gives them a chance to learn. Gives them a chance to come into a church building, but not for church, right? And sometimes folks have, a lot of the kids that are in the kids programming, they don't know the Bible stories. They're hearing them for the first time. As the families are here, and they're like, oh, this is okay. So when we invite them to church, they're like, oh, I've been in that church, right? One time I was in our bike shop at Love Inc. and this guy, I'm not in there a lot. We've got other staff that manage it, but this guy just comes walking by me and I was like, I'd never seen him before. And he throws his bike on a bike rack and clamps it in and starts. I was like, oh, can I help you? And he's like, no, I volunteer here. Well, he had volunteered once to earn a bike, but in his mind, he's like, I'm a volunteer. I'm a part of this, right? And that's what we want people to experience is like, I'm part of this. So Life Inc., it's got the great kids programming. It's really transformational. We also do some after-school programming. So at Bethel on Anamosa across from North Middle School, there's teen centers after school during the school year. And at Westminster Presbyterian across from West Middle School. I couldn't give you the stats, but they're crazy. Like hundreds and hundreds of kids through the school throughout the school year end up going there and experiencing that thousands of times they do that. Many of these kids come and the volunteers either from that church, but there's other volunteers that come and hang out with those kids from other churches as well. But then on Wednesday nights, they're like, hey, and if you'd like, you can stay for a meal and then go to youth group. Those youth groups have a lot of kids that are from the teen center, so God's really using that. We have outreaches in Hill City, where they're doing some of the same Life Inc. classes, and they have Hill City, it's wild. They have a kids' closet where they do a clothing exchange. 150 children from the area participate in that. They do just helping people with furniture and things like that. And then in Sturgis as well, we have Life Inc. and Love Inc. happening there. We're working on getting our foothold into Spearfish, but we'll just see, and the Lord's timing and all of that. And then throughout the summer and throughout the year, we have lots of work teams, people from all over the nation. It's kind of funny how churches and their missions teams work, because we'll send a team to one community. It could very well be that same community sends a team here. But there's something about going, right? And we have a commission to go. And there's something when we put it in our head and we're focused and we're not distracted and we are just here to serve. So those are really impactful. So all of that provides a framework for, we have about 200 plus active volunteers that are volunteering regularly in different ways. And so maybe you're like, hey, I would like to serve in a specific way. Come and get a tour. Like, we'll show you all the ways you can volunteer. Maybe you just want to sit behind a computer and do some computer work. That's your personality. But there's a place for your gifts and talents. So we can talk about that later. Today, the specific reason I'm here is related to this plant. We even sang some cool songs about growth. Love Inc. is embarking on a prayer campaign this summer. So we're calling it Grow Deep. And you are allowed to take your phone out, like especially if your Bible's on it. But I would encourage you right now to text the word pray to our phone number. What that does is it will sign you up on a prayer campaign. If you don't want to be on it, you just hit stop and we take you off of it. But starting here in the next few weeks, you will start getting text messages, 3 a week, about how to pray for our community. So we're going to go through a variety of themes. You can see those on the overhead, I think. Yeah, the previous one. It's just in light letters. Belonging, security, growth, health. Like, what are the ingredients to make this plant thrive, right? Obviously, it needs sunlight. It can't freeze. It needs water, it needs fertilizer. But if you look at an individual or a community, what do we need to thrive, right? We need belonging. We need faith. We need security. Well, a lot of people in our community, they're going through life and they don't have all the ingredients to thrive, right? They don't know where they're going to sleep tonight. They're living a life where they're really living in fear of the threats within their neighborhood and the violence in their neighborhood, or maybe even in their home, right? Well, what we want to do is encourage you to pray for that throughout the summer. We've been every week getting 75 of these plants. Believe it or not, I'm left with 4 today. Like they're going. So that's a good thing. But there'll be some more at Love Inc. this week. So I've, and there, someone may drop by a few more while I'm speaking if we have any leftovers. We're in three churches today. But I'd encourage you, if you want one, there's plants to take. There's a little QR code if you want to help defray the cost on that. So you can scan it or just leave money or whatever. But the idea with the plant, and you can grab any plant will do, but it's like, hey, every time I care for this plant, I'm going to be reminded it's my prayer plant, and I'm going to be prompted to pray for my community, right? If the theme that week is for health. And you know, like your own family and health needs, but just think of our all the needs in our community. People, you know, dealing with, I've got a friend who's like dealing with cancer. I've got another friend whose wife's going to die in the next few weeks from cancer. Like, these things need prayer, right? And we get so, we can get pretty absorbed in our own life and our own silo, and this is just a chance to say, Lord, come. Come and bring health into our community. Bring security into our community. We don't want a community with violence. We want a community with justice and righteousness. So sign up for those texts. Just text PRAY to the number 718-5683. That was the foot in the door for today, but I want to bring us to the meat, which is the Word of God. So let's, before we're heading into Scripture, let's just pray and prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your great love for us and that you are with us. I just invite you here, Lord, as we head into your word, that you'd let it come alive in our hearts, that you would speak to us, Lord. I believe that you speak to each one of us. Lord, that you'd convict us, that you'd set us straight in areas where we need correction, that you'd encourage us in areas where we need strength, that you'd give us hope and clarity in what we need to do with our lives. So, Lord, let us just come to know you better, experience you through your word, in Jesus' name. We're going to be so, you know, got to stay on theme. So the theme is the sower and the seed. And with a Grow Deep campaign, I was like, you know, I haven't been in Destiny for a while, so check out a service. And so I just randomly happened upon a sermon that Pastor Sean preached in February, and guess what the topic was? Sowing and reaping. It was the first time he had preached in the year, and so if you remember, he gave a resolution speech. He's funny. He's a good communicator. You're blessed to have Pastor Sean. But he said, you know, probably some of you have already like given up on your resolutions for the year since the New Year's resolution happened in February. That was pretty funny. But the theme from Galatians chapter 6 is, Paul says, God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Like, this is kind of a rule. What you sow, you will reap. And if you don't like what you're reaping in your life, what you're harvesting, then plant something different, right? It's a good word. He said the habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. That's a good word. If you want to be, like we said before the offering, you know, if you're like, man, I want more financial security in 5 years, well, got to start changing what we do today to change tomorrow, right? Well, we come across a similar theme in Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower and the seed. So let's just read that together. It says, when a large crowd was coming together and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. Jesus did. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples began to question him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root in themselves. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I'm familiar with this passage. In fact, almost 30 years ago, God spoke to me through this passage in such a way that it ended up sending me to China. It was this passage. That's a whole nother story, but almost like my default way of looking at this passage is thinking, okay, Christ is talking about how people respond to initially hearing the good news of Christ. And it does talk about that, right? There are some people, they hear about the good news of Christ and they're like, that's not for me, right? And it says that the devil comes and snatches away. Anything that might have been there is gone, right? And we see that. There's people who I've heard it, I just don't believe it. I've got a friend who said, it's a strong Christian home, and her daughter, as became a teenager, came up and she's like, I don't want to be a Christian. Like, that just breaks a mom's heart, right? And you're just like, okay, well, but God gave me you, so I'm going to just keep loving you, right? And pointing you to Jesus with gentleness and grace. So that's somehow people receive the gospel message. Other times, you hear about this seed in the rock, right? They're like, yes, I want it. They hear a compelling message. They're like, all you have to do is pray the prayer and you're good to go. And they're like, this is amazing. And 2 weeks later, they're like, yeah, I tried that. It didn't work, right? It is like tons of enthusiasm, but then, they get around their friends that are doing bad or anything like that, and it's just like it doesn't last. Then you have people who, we sometimes throw around a phrase called nominal Christians, right? They're like walking the walk, they're talking the talk, they're doing the thing, they're there in church on occasion or whatever. They'll say, I'm a Christian, but you look at their life and there's no fruit, right? It looks like it's alive, but there's no fruit. And so you're like, oh yeah, that's the plant that's like tangled up in the thorns, right? And then finally, you know those Christians who like Jesus is their all in all, right? They hear the gospel message, they receive it, and they live the life never looking back. Okay, so yes, this scripture does say that, and that's usually where my mind goes, but that is not what we're talking about today. Because I think there's another way to see this passage, and that is for believers. What is the condition of your heart? And it's interesting because verse 11, Jesus says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So he's very clear, the seed is the word of God. But he doesn't say what the soil is. You have to dig, you have to dig a little bit to find out what the soil is. And the soil is our hearts. It's the condition of our hearts. And is our heart some monolithic thing that's the same throughout? Or do we have parts of our heart maybe, like the picture there, do we have parts that are hard, parts that are rocky, parts that are thorny, and parts that are good soil? I would maybe argue that we may have a little bit of all that in our hearts. We have a process we call sanctification, right? As Christians, we have salvation, which is when we receive and accept the gift of Christ in our life, but then we walk through that through sanctification. We are being changed every day. We're walking through this process of transformation, which requires continual repentance and learning and growth and setbacks and failures and successes and still learning all the way through. I've got lots of kids, and I've got this 13-year-old boy, and we've had a conversation a few times when he's messed up, and I was like, do you think this is the last time you sin in your life? Do you think this is the biggest sin? Or do you have, this is kind of sad in a way, or do you think your biggest sins are still ahead of you? Isn't that kind of sad as a young man who believes in Jesus, his biggest sins are still ahead of him? Isn't that wild about the Christian life that we have, it's a tough road that we walk with Christ and it's continual transformation. So there's four types of heart soils Christ points out here. First, a hardened heart, okay? Second, an immature heart. Third, a distracted heart. And fourth, a rooted heart. So I want to dig into those. Oh, man. I'm going to say dig into like a whole bunch. And every time I say it, I'll probably snicker a little bit because it's kind of funny talking about soils and using the phrase dig. But bear with me. So let's dig into this. Verse 11 and 12. Verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. So this is the hardened heart. It's interesting, this parable appears in, they call it the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're very similar, and so this parable is repeated three times in Scripture, but every time there's these little tweaks to it that are really interesting, that bring another layer to the story. And so when he says the devil, interesting, Matthew says evil, then evil or the evil one, comes and snatches it. And Mark says Satan, and now Luke says the devil. And those are distinct words in the Greek. And so in Matthew, the evil one, literally the same word that we use in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Some translations say deliver us from the evil one. And we get this picture of evil, like you may use it in just your day-to-day language saying, oh, that's just evil, right? We have, it's kind of this ambiguous, amorphous, kind of like the dark force. You're just like, there's evil in the world. It's not, doesn't have a name. You just know it's there. Whereas Mark is, makes it very personified. It's Satan, right? Like it's capital S. Like there is an actor behind all this evil. And now here we get into Luke and it says the devil snatches it away. And when we see that, the devil, you're like, oh, that was very devilish of him. Like he was scheming this whole time to pull that off, right? The devil says that he's a liar, right? He lies from the beginning. He's a deceiver. He's like lurks about like a lion seeking whom he can devour, right? And so I think the important thing here, it goes all the way back to Genesis. We remember we have the Garden of Eden. Everything is glorious and wonderful. There's no sin. Mankind and the Lord are living in harmony. And then we get to chapter 3, and it says, but the serpent, right? All along the way when the Garden of Eden existed, there had already been a conflict in the cosmos happening. Evil was present. Satan was lurking about. And then he entered our story. And we can sometimes walk through life thinking that, oh man, this conflict I'm having with a friend or this other thing, like we try to figure it out with our brains, we try to rationalize it, but sometimes, you know what, it's just evil. So there is an enemy, and he desires to tear apart churches, tear apart families, distract us, right? And what gives, Ephesians talks about, says, don't give the devil a foothold. How do we give the devil a foothold in our lives? Two things I want to talk about, repentance and forgiveness. If we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, we're giving the devil a foothold. And forgiveness is not easy, right? We've all had people who hurt us deeply. We've all, sometimes because not because of us, right? It's nothing we did. Maybe even as children, like we were innocent victims. Sometimes it's circumstances. Sometimes it feels like it's God. Sometimes it's like, why did God let this happen? Going back to the Lord's Prayer, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, I can't get into the depth of this today, but he says, if we don't forgive, then the Father can't forgive us. And in a way, if we're holding on to unforgiveness, how can we receive the forgiveness of the Lord, right? And so we give the devil a foothold our heart gets hardened. There may be an area in your heart that's hardened because you're still harboring unforgiveness. I had a friend who was hurt deeply, deep. Like, just think of the deepest hurt. It's in that list of deepest hurts, right? And he thought, like, I forgave that person, right? But that person, he didn't see him every day either, right? So years went by, and then he's in a meeting. Guess who's there? That person. Do you know what came up? All the stuff he hadn't thought about for years. He thought it was gone, and here's all. What do you do with that? Forgive. And what does forgiveness mean? Look at the word, forgive. Like, if I come and hand you this bottle, and you try to take it, but I'm still gripping it, you can't take it because I'm not giving it, right? I have to forgive. But my second youngest daughter grew up around the movie Frozen. And so her first words were singing, "Let it go." Okay? And it's easy, and that is what forgiveness means, is to let it go. But as Christians, we don't let it go to the ether. We don't say, "Here, cosmos," we let it go. If you're harboring unforgiveness, when we let it go, we are literally taking this sin and we are putting it on the cross of Christ. And this is what he died for. And it's sometimes it hurts so much. You're just like, I can't carry this. Take this. And then you find out, like, 2 hours later, oh, it's back. Take this 2 hours later. And pretty soon it'll be 4 hours later, right? And pretty soon it'll be a day later, a week later, a month later. We have to forgive. And just this week, I had to confess to a brother, saying, like, man, I didn't realize I'm still hurt, right? And I had to confess. It says Jesus went about preaching the kingdom and repentance. We put repentance, and that's the second word. We think repentance, I grew up in a wonderful church, and I wouldn't be the man I am without the church I had. But you also, like, take on things as a kid, and I don't know what this church was like, really. I just had kid eyes. But it seemed like if you were going to come in front of the church for repentance, it probably meant you maybe murdered somebody, or you had an affair but got caught, or, you know, it's got to be bad. It's not like, hey, I was speeding on the way to church, I'm going to repent. Like, it has to be big, and you had to get caught. Like, it just, repentance was that. But really, for the Christian, repentance is every day. Repentance means 180. It just means turn, right? And every moment, we want to be turning to Jesus. And any time we get off, maybe you're, like, frustrated with politics, and you start spouting something with your mouth, and you're like, that wasn't Jesus. Jesus, I know anger's not from you, right? I can't handle anger, so I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to get my eyes back on you. That's repentance. That's all it is, and we got to be doing it every day. It's not just for the big ones, it's for the little ones, especially the little ones. If you do the little ones, you don't have to do the big ones, usually. So let's keep going. So a hardened heart is softened through forgiveness and repentance. Verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root in themselves. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. I put that word "in themselves" in brackets because Matthew and Mark talk about they're not rooted in themselves. Like, they haven't done the work of being rooted in Christ. And interesting, Mark talks about temptation, but the others talk about trials and persecution, right? So when the tough, what do they say? When the going gets tough, the tough, what do they do? Get going. But yeah, not in a good way, I guess, right? Get going in a good way, not like I'm out of here. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going, but in a good way. But for those where the seed is immature, where the life, the fruit is immature, it withers away. You can see there, you can watch this, and we all have places where we need to grow in maturity. But for people who are extreme in it, it's like high, high, low, low. High, high, low, low, right? Times are great. Jesus is amazing. Oh, my gosh, life sucks. as we grow in Christ and mature, we begin, those high highs and low lows taper off, right? They level off, and that's called being mature, right? We don't stay as children in our faith. We have to mature, and hey, those high highs are awesome, right? But he says the low lows, you fall away. It's not, this isn't worth falling away. And so we can still be full of joy, but that joy is rooted in peace and righteousness, not just in a feeling. It's more than a feeling. It's real. It's truth, and it goes deep. I had a friend who moved to the Pacific Northwest. It's a temperate rainforest, right? From Rapid City. So gorgeous. Like, his house is in the woods. It's like, I mean, it's just everything is green and mossy and lush. But one day they had snow. Like, it never snows there. There's like 2, 3, 4 inches of snow. Trees are falling over, right? Roads are closed, like trees falling over the roads. You're like, this is nothing, right? Contrast that with, as you're heading east, maybe you're going to Wall and you look off in the prairie and there's a lone tree, right? You're like, that tree is tough, right? That tree's roots are probably like 10 times what you see above the ground is not as, there's way more under the ground. And that's, in a way, I think we should be, while it's beautiful to be a lush tree in the Pacific Northwest, and that's all good, there's something majestic about a prairie tree that can withstand anything, right? And life is going to bring trials. Life is going to bring suffering. Life will not be easy. Jesus didn't say, come follow me, and it'll be rainbows and unicorns and Skittles for breakfast. He just said, come follow me, and I will give you life, right? But he also promised. He promised division. He promised to share in his sufferings. Like, it is not just easy, but it is good. And so that is the challenge here. And so what do we do if we see areas in our life where maybe we're just like, wow, I look at that part of my life and I see, like, it's just my emotions that are, God gave us emotions. They're meant to be the caboose of the train and not the engine. And we live in a culture that really, for real, our culture is communicating your emotions, how you feel, should drive your train, okay? And the reality is, I had a friend say this, pain and shame drive the train. And so we have people who are, their pain and their shame is driving the actions of their life. That's not the way it's to be. Jesus Christ, the Lord, and the truth, and the word is to guide our life. But because this is the soup we swim in, we have to check ourselves regularly and saying, wow, did I get the caboose and the engine mixed up? Lord, switch my mind. And how do we do that? We grow our immaturity by growing in grace and truth. And it's already been mentioned in the service. We got to soak in the word, right? We got to be in the word. We got to be growing in depth of knowledge, but also in depth of grace. And we do that just through living life with Jesus. He teaches us that, you know, like, he teaches you that, wow, this hard thing comes, but you've seen Jesus deliver over and over and over again. Pretty soon that hard thing comes and you're just like, yeah, it's hard, but I know he's got it, right? And that's maturity. And it takes time. Let's keep going. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. This is the passage that sent me on my way to China, which is a different story. But I think of the four soils, this is the one that's most challenging for us. We live in a time when everything is vying for our attention, everything. We live in a time where everyone is trying to get into our pocketbook, right? And how do they do that? Through our heart, through our eyes, like constantly being communicated that what you have is not enough, but if you buy this, it'll be great. We have more entertainment at our fingertips than we can imagine. How many streaming services do you subscribe to? Like, you, even the ones you don't, you can just go for free on your smart TV and just be sucked in. You can never, never, ever consume the content that's being created moment by moment, right? You can land on YouTube and away you go. Start doom scrolling, right? And you're like, yeah, but this is all good. But what's it doing to our minds, right? What's it doing to our ability to be still and know that I am God? It is literally like, it's like rust, rusting away our brain and our ability to be still. Like, have, if you, I consume a lot of content. I love information. It is like, if I have a drug, it's information. Like, I just can't get enough. And I was talking to my kids the other day, and my son's getting married. I was like, hey, I heard about this really good book on being a new husband, but it's like kind of obscure. So there's no audiobook and there's no ebook. So you'd have to buy a physical copy with paper and read it. He was just like, you wouldn't say this, but like if you were like, this piece of paper, this book will save your marriage. And you're just like, I don't know if I can do that, right? That's where we've come, is like we're our ability to handle, like think deeply and slow down and listen is being broken. It's scary. And for the Christian, it's especially scary. I think it's Isaiah that says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And that we are becoming weak, not strong. Now, like my wife and I, my wife, she's amazing, by the way, but she could listen to 20 sermons in a day, right? Is that bad? It might be. 20 might be an exaggeration. 10 probably isn't. You're like, this is such great content. But like you get on TikTok or on the YouTube shorts, and you're just like, whoa, where did the last hour go? There was a couple funny ones I wanted to repeat, but I can't even remember them. Like our ability to remember and retain and think deeply is being destroyed. Let alone, it talks about riches here, right? Is your car good enough? Is your house good enough? Are your clothes good enough? Right? Is your bank account big enough? Like we are constantly being told, instead of having hearts of gratitude, we are wanting, wanting, wanting. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is enough. He is all we need. But the world doesn't have him. And it's not like some complicated cabal trying to, but it is the world system that's pulling us away from Christ. And so folks, we have a huge challenge that we are seeds sown among the thorns, and we look alive, but we're fruitless because we're distracted. So what do we do? Set your mind on things above. Colossians says, set your heart on things above, not on the things of earth. We have to that's why we need each other, right? That's why we come to church. We got to get our focus back. There are rules, things you can do through your day, literally, not to sell a plant, but there are little rules. You could say, like, I'm going to care for that plant, and every time I care for it, I'm just going to take 10 minutes and be still and listen to the Lord, right? We have to do something concrete and actionable against the flood of distractions and temptations pulling our hearts away from Christ. Set your mind on things above. Finally, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance, right? Man, remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. This is such an amazing story. She's a Samaritan. She's a woman. Jesus is in. The Jews and the Samaritans, they don't like each other, right? To be a Samaritan is worse than to be a Gentile because they took the truth and they twisted it. And so you're worse than an unbeliever. And Jesus is going there And the disciples went into town to get supplies and food. There he is at the well in the middle of the day. Here's this woman who's an outcast of her society. And anyway, he tells her everything about herself, that she's had five husbands and the man she's living with isn't her husband. And he's like, you're looking for life. And you're just doing what the world is offering for life. And you're thirsty and you're hungry. And he says, come to me and I will give you rivers of living water. That's what Jesus is offering us. Rivers of living water that could gush through us, that we could be a source of life to other people. But we can't do it the world's way. And so, just wild, that the disciples come back, and what are they shocked to see? That he's talking to a woman. It was just a different time. So, anyway, we have to have an honest and good heart and bear with perseverance through it all, that we can have that rivers of living water. Persevere. Will it be easy? No, absolutely not. Following Christ is not easy. That woman at the well who had tried everything, doesn't work. Only the way of the Lord works, and it's not an easy path, but it's a good path. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me daily, right? So how do we move if we've got hardness of heart, if we've got rocky soil, if we've got some thorn bushes in our heart? How do we develop that good soil? We just have to live in Christ by faith. It is what John 10 says, abide, right? 10 or 15. It says, we got to abide. I am the vine, you're the branches. Anyone who remains or abides in me will bear much fruit. We got to live in Christ. That's 5 John 15. Got to live in Christ by faith. So the four responses. Is there an area today that you need to forgive? Or a sin that's you just got to repent of? Maybe it's just a little one. Great. Repent. Like, let's get our eyes on Jesus, right? Soften that soil. Do we need to dig into grace and truth and mature our faith? Maybe the first thing you look at in the morning is your phone and the news, and pretty soon 15 minutes is gone. Could those 15 minutes you say, like, my first thought of the day is going to be Jesus, and my first 5 minutes are going to be on my knees, and my next 10 minutes are going to be in the Word. Same day, like, you're not going to miss whatever was on the internet. Then we need to set our mind and just get untangled from the things of this world. Keep and just do it. Find a rhythm that'll set your mind on the things above. And then finally, just abide in Christ. He is with us, right? His name is Emmanuel, God with us. His Spirit, the mystery of the gospel that was hidden for ages, was that Christ is in us. He's with us. He's walking through us. We have an adventurous life to live with him, and it's not the one the world's offering. So my encouragement for you today, join me in praying for our community this summer. The world needs Jesus, and nurture that good soil in your heart today. Pastor Sean.
Would you say thank you to John? Before you leave, before we leave today, I want to give you the opportunity, if you're here this morning and you've been hearing about Jesus, who has come to be a rescue for you. He's come to bring salvation, to bring restoration to your broken places, to bring life. Life abundant. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he comes to give life and life abundant. If that's something that you want, we want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus this morning. Maybe it's a surrender. Maybe it's you've been here this morning and something is stirring in your heart. I believe that's Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning that, I'm going to come back this morning and just lean in again. So if that's you, I want to pray. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes and just take a moment before we go today? There's been some good seeds planted this morning, and we have a Lord of the harvest. And so let's just lean in, saints, and just be praying. So if that's you, with nobody looking around this morning, we want to pray with you. And there's nothing special about the prayer. It's just a leaning into Jesus, saying that I want to follow him with my life. I want to give my life to him this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We just want to pray with you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything. We just want to pray with you all together this morning. Is there anybody in the house? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Surrender our salvation this morning. Well, if you're watching online, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that prayer all together this morning because we have an audience that watches this for weeks out after the message. So we're not going to miss the opportunity to cast the net this morning. So would you all pray this with me this morning? Father God, I give you my life, all that I am. I surrender it to you. Thank you for coming to this planet and putting on a man suit, coming in the flesh, giving up all of your God form and walking as a man, giving your life for me. Thank you, Lord, that you were resurrected, that my life can be resurrected and made new. I'm so grateful, and I want to follow you with my life. In your name, amen.